would ask you to turn to that passage of Scripture we read a little earlier, please, to Mark's Gospel, and to the chapter number 5. And just with God's Word open before us, let us just unite our hearts together in a short word of prayer. Our loving God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us already in this gathering tonight. We pray, Lord, that Thou would intensify that sense of Thy presence. O Lord, we pray that Thou would be very real to every heart, to every soul in the meeting tonight. We pray, Lord, that Thou would take our eyes off the things of time and sense. We pray, Lord, that Thou would fix our hearts and minds upon the great issues of eternity. And oh, that tonight sinners might see themselves lost and undone before a holy God. And oh, that they might see Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Father, we pray tonight that Thou would bless Thy word to this end, even to the salvation of precious souls, to the encouragement of the saints of God, to the glorifying of Christ. To this end, O God, cleanse this vessel afresh in the blood of the Lamb. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost. Pour out Thy Spirit mightily upon the entire congregation. And Lord, be pleased tonight to move from seat to seat and from heart to heart, O God, we pray, as Thou alone would see the need. This we pray and this we ask for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory. Amen. Our text for this evening that we want to look at is verse number 41 of Mark's Gospel and the chapter number 5. Let us just read that verse with you again. Says of the Lord, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now, whenever the Lord saves a person, he calls that person to himself. By this call, that person is brought to that place of repentance toward God. And to that place of saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of this particular call, the Shorter Catechism tells us that effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the Gospel. Now you have a wonderful illustration of that particular call in the words of our text tonight here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse number 41. Because this verse before us concerns Christ's call to the daughter of Jairus, who had just died. Now who was Jairus? Jairus, we're told, was a ruler of the Jewish synagogue. He would have been a well-educated man. He would have been a man, no doubt, of wealth and of substance. He would have been a man in Jewish circles who would have been high up in society. Yet here we see that sickness is no respecter of homes or of persons, because it visits the home of Jairus. We're told that his little daughter of 12 years of age is sick, and she is nigh unto death. But in his time of need, we see how this man Jairus, he goes to the best of all persons in his time of need. He goes to the Lord himself, to the Lord Jesus Christ, with his burden and with his need. And what a lesson there is there for every single one of us, and the burdens of life and the cares and the trials of life, whatever those burdens and needs might be, to take them to the Lord. He alone is the burden bearer. The psalmist says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain me. I never suffer the righteous to be moved. He goes to the Lord for help and asks the Lord for healing. And the Lord hearkens to his plea, and the Lord journeys toward the home where the little girl is. However, the chapter tells us how the Lord's coming is delayed by the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. And after the healing of this woman, then Christ hears that the little girl has died. But you know, the effects of death must bow to Christ's power. So the Lord continues on with his journey to this home where the little girl was. Whenever he gets to the grieving home, he goes to where the little girl is lying. And in that room, there are just her parents, there are her mother and her father. There's three of the Lord's disciples. There is Peter, and there is James, and there is John. And then we read how the Lord comes, and he takes the little girl by the hand. And look at what Mark says there in verse 41. He says of the Lord, and he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And the wonderful outcome here of the touch of Christ is this, that this little girl, a little girl of just 12 years of age, is raised back to life. Now you can picture the scene in your own mind's eye tonight, how there was sorrow, there was heartbreak, there was tears. But now that surely must give way to joy because of this little girl being raised back again to life by the touch of the Master, the Lord Himself. Now whenever we think here of Christ's call to this little girl, we see in this call a wonderful picture in the Gospel of how Christ calls sinners to Himself for salvation. For just as the Lord called Jairus' daughter back to life, so the Lord also calls sinners to Himself. He calls sinners to Himself for salvation, for abundant life, for life eternal, for life everlasting. Friends, tonight it is in this light that I want us to consider these words. Here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse number 41. And as we look here this evening at Christ's call to Jairus' daughter, there are three things I want you to note. First of all, I want you to see here the condition of Jairus' daughter before she received this call from Christ. What was her condition? Well, you see from the account that her condition was one of sickness. Look at verse 23 of the chapter. Notice what it says of the father as he meets with Christ. And it says, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And there you see from those words that is very evident that this little girl is very sick. And such is her sickness that she is near unto death. And friends, whenever you think here of the sickness of this little girl's body, is there not there a reminder of the awful sickness and the awful disease of sin that affects all mankind? You see, the Bible says there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and that sinneth not. And that surely means to us that we all have sinned, the Bible says. Someone has once said that sin is a matter of what we are and not what we learn. Oh, friend, realize this tonight in the meeting by the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You and I were born into this world sinners by nature. Sinners by practice, with this awful disease of sin in our hearts and lives. The Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And what is our sin? It's the breaking of God's law. It's the coming short of God's glory and standard. What else is sin? Sin takes man away from God like a lost sheep. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. How awful are the ravages and the effects of sin in the life. We live in an age when society by and large belittles sin and thinks nothing of sin. In fact, we could go so far as to say that society today encourages sin in every hand. But friend, I want you to see tonight that sin is no light thing with God. Your sinful thoughts and words and deeds, my, they are grieving to God. All sin, wherever it is to be found, it grieves God Almighty, your Creator. Turning your Bible back to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and you'll see this for yourself. Look at verses 5 and 6, and here you read of the world before God destroyed it with the flood. And bear in mind, he destroyed the world with a flood because of its sin. And that shows you how grieving sin is to God. Look at verses 5 and 6 of Genesis chapter 6. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth and had grieved him at his heart. God was grieved with sin in the day of Noah. Tonight, my friend, God is still grieved with sin. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, realize this, that God is grieved with your sin. Your sin is grieving to God. Yes, we see this girl's condition was one of sickness before she received this call. But notice something else here about her condition. Not only was it one of sickness, it was also one of death. Because of her sickness, this little girl dies. Look at verse number 35 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Notice the news that reaches the ear of the Lord after it healed the woman with the issue of blood. It says in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Notice those words, thy daughter is dead. Jairus' daughter becomes a lifeless corpse. Her life is gone from her. And when you think there of her condition of death, surely it reminds us also of the condition of all who are not saved before Almighty God. Such are spiritually dead to God. Remember what Paul said to the people who were saved in the city and the church at Ephesus about God and what he had done for them? He said, of God in you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, God says it. He says in his word that you are dead in trespasses and in sins. You're spiritually dead before God Almighty. But not only is man one of being spiritually dead before God, he is also condemned to eternal death and punishment and hell itself. What does the psalmist say? He says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, let me say this. This is your condition before God. Your soul is dead to God. Your soul has no natural inclination toward God. Your soul has no natural ability to please God Almighty, your Creator. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. My just as a rotting carcass is obnoxious to the smell. So friend, unsaved, your soul has nothing in its sin to incur God's favor. And because of your sin, as you sit in this meeting tonight unsaved, the Bible says you're condemned to hell, to everlasting punishment and judgment for your sins. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The evolutionists would tell you that all there is to this life is what we do here and now. That's not what God says. It says once you die and die in your sin, you face the eternal judgment of God. My, you're just like a criminal on death row, waiting execution for your sin. The Bible says you're condemned already. My, you're spiritually dead, just as this little girl was dead. Friend, unsaved, your soul is sick with sin, just as this little girl was sick and ill. But notice something else here about her condition. Yes, it was one of sickness. It was one of death. But it was also one of affection. It was one of love. You know, this little girl, she was greatly loved by her father. Now, as you read this account, you can't help but thinking that this little girl was daddy's girl. He loved this little girl, this little daughter, dearly. And you see that from verse 23 and verse 38 of the chapter. You see something of the love there was for this little girl. In verse 23, the father says, and we read of him before Christ, and it says, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands upon her that she may be healed and she shall live. You can't but help thinking as you read those words, here was a father filled with tremendous love for his little girl. Go over to verse 38, you see something more of that love. It says of Christ, And when he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult. That word tumult means there was uproar in the home. And them that wept and wailed greatly. This little girl was the darling of many. She was loved by her father, by her mother, by her family, by her friends. She was greatly loved by the family and by her kithkin. But you know, I want to say also, she was greatly loved by Christ. He loved her most. And proof of the Lord's love is the fact that he goes here to her aid and to her help. Notice how verse 24 of the chapter begins when the father speaks to him about his daughter. It says, and Jesus went with him. Why did the Lord go? Why did he respond to this call? Because of his great love for this little girl, this little daughter of Jairus. You know, whenever you think here tonight of the love this little girl received, is it not a picture and a reminder of God's love? God's love in Christ toward every poor and needy sinner. The hymn writer rightly says that God loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. And friend, in the meeting tonight on Save, remember this, that God loves you. And what is the proof of God's love toward you? My, his goodness, his mercy, his blessings to your life every day is a token of God's goodness and God's love toward you. The Bible says in the book of James, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift you have in life, friend unsaved, is a token of God's love, God's mercy toward you. But you know, further proof of God's love is also seen in the fact that he sent his Son, his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to purchase eternal salvation for all who will repent of their sin and trust him as Savior. Turning your Bible over to the little epistle of John near the end of the New Testament. Look at 1 John and look at what John says in verses 8 and 9 and 10 of 1 John chapter 4. Notice how he speaks to us here about the wonderful love of God and Christ towards sinners. He says in verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. One of the unchanging attributes of God is his love. Love towards poor and needy sinners like you and I, toward perishing sinners. And how is his love demonstrated? Look at verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What a record there you have of the love of God. It took Christ from the glory of heaven into the sin-cursed world. It took him to the cross of Calvary, the cross of ignominy and shame, to become a propitiation, the Bible says, for our sins. Friend, you may be far down in sin tonight. Maybe in this world people have little time or care or concern for you. But let me assure you tonight that God has concern for your soul. God has love for your soul. David lamented on one occasion, no man careth for my soul. But I tell you tonight, God cares for your soul. God loves your soul tonight. And my, his love is so much that he sent his Son to die upon the cross, that sinners like you and I might be saved from the awful ruin, the awful sickness, the awful penalty, the awful effects of sin and the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Yes, we see the condition here of Jairus' daughter before she received this call from Christ. But notice secondly tonight from Mark's Gospel chapter 5, the character of Christ's call to Jairus' daughter. What kind of a call was it? Look at Mark chapter 5 and the verse 41. You'll see there that it was a personal call. The Lord called this little girl personally. It says, and he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The Lord called this little girl personally. And my Bible commentators would tell us this little word damsel was literally her pet name. And he called her by her pet name. He called her personally at this particular occasion. And friend, I want to say to you tonight that in salvation, the Lord comes and he calls sinners personally. He calls them personally to himself. You read your Bible from cover to cover. And you'll find in book after book and chapter after chapter what you find the Lord doing. You find Him coming to people personally and calling them personally to Himself. You read of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, in the opening part of that chapter, and the Lord comes to Abraham when he's in the midst of his idolatry and his sin. God calls him to Himself. Think of Moses. In the backside of the desert, we might say in the backside of nowhere. And God went to Moses and God called him. Think of Samuel, just a little boy, a young lad, lying on the bed in the temple, ministering to Eli the priest, and the Lord called him. And my, he heard the call of God. Think of James and John, the apostles. We read in the Bible that the Lord came to them personally and he called them. Again, think of Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor, a murderer, the greatest enemy to the Church of Christ that there ever was in Bible times. Yet the Lord called him on the road to Damascus, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He called him personally. All through the Bible, God comes to men and women in mercy and in grace. He calls them to himself. This is what God says over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 4. Listen to his word. He says, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." Well, friend, realize this. The Lord is one who calls you to himself for salvation. He calls you by your very name. He says to you in this meeting tonight, unsaved young person, older person, he says, "Come unto me. All ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Friend, how many times have you heard the Lord calling you to Christ? It's time you got honest with God. How many times have you heard that call? The hymn writer says, "O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain." Through the word of God, through the preaching of the word, or maybe through circumstances, through death, through sorrow, through pain, God has come and he's spoken to your heart and God has called you to himself, yet you have not heard, you have not responded. Friend, unsaved, I urge you tonight, do not despise the call of God. For God says in his word that my spirit shall not always strive with man. What if God should stop speaking? What if he should stop calling? Yes, this little girl received a personal call. Something else you will note here, she received an urgent call. For you know, when the Lord got to this home, he didn't delay. He didn't waste any time. He immediately set about the task of raising this little girl. Look at verse 40 and 41. It says of those in the family and the home, it says, "And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise." He wasted no time whatsoever. You can detect a note of urgency as the Savior goes about his mighty work and healing and raising this little girl. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, you may receive many, many calls in life to different things. And maybe calls that are very urgent in themselves. You know, the most urgent call that you can ever receive is the call of God for you to come to Christ for salvation. There's no call more urgent. Hence the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." My, don't delay in heeding this call to come to Christ. For if you delay, your heart may harden and you may never be saved. For God says, "Today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart." God says your heart can harden if you turn away from the call of God and the gospel. Dear friend, also if you delay in coming to Christ and hearkening to this call and death comes, you will never be saved. Turn your Bible back to the book of Ecclesiastes in the chapter number 9. Look at the verse number 10. Look at what the Word of God says there. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. The hymn writer says there is danger and there is death and delay. If your house, your home was on fire, you would make no delay in escaping and getting out from the flames. Oh, unsafe friend, realize this tonight in your unsafe condition in this meeting. You're sitting on the very verge of hell itself. You're sitting on the very verge of eternal flames and eternal judgment. Oh friend, may you with haste flee to Christ. May you with haste heed the call of God and the gospel. Come to Christ that you might be saved from the flames of everlasting torment and judgment. Notice something else about this little girl's call. It was a pitiful call. You know, in calling this little girl, the Lord here shows great pity. He sees and he feels that the family's tears and the family's heartbreak. In verse 38 and verse 39, it says, there the Lord, he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, the men that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. My, he shows great pity to those who were wailing and crying and shedding tears here in the home. Over in the book of James, chapter 5, in the verse number 11, you have a wonderful picture of the Lord. This is what James says there about the Lord. He says, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. There's no one as merciful and as pitiful as the Lord. And friend, with pity and with tender mercy, the Lord called you to himself to be saved. To be saved from the awful ruin of your sin. Over in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die? O house of Israel, there you see the pity of God. There you see the tender mercy of God. If you're not saved in the meeting tonight, the Lord says, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die? Heed the call to come to Christ and be saved. But notice finally tonight not only the character of this call and her condition, but notice the consequences of the Lord's call to Jairus' daughter. What was the outcome? Well, she was to receive new life. Christ's call resulted in her rising from the dead to live a new life. Look at verse 42. It says, straightway the damsel arose. If you look at verse 43, it says there she was able to eat. This little girl was very much alive. Friend, whenever you heed Christ's call in the gospel and repent of your sins and trust in the merits of Christ's blood for the cleansing away of your sin is all forgiven by God. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And may you receive the wonderful gift of eternal life in heaven. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. Oh, friend, whenever you trust Christ as Savior, you receive life eternal, life everlasting. You are saved from the wrath to come. This little girl had new life. Notice something else. She received a new walk. It says there in verse number 42, it says, and straightway the damsel walked. Friend, when you trust Christ as Savior, he will give you grace to begin a new life, yes, of walking with God. You'll begin the walk of faith. Paul says in the book of Corinthians, we walk by faith and not by sight. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, the Lord will break the fetters of sin that bind your life. He'll give you grace. And give you strength to walk with him, to serve him, to live for his honor and for his glory. I'm sure most of you tonight have heard of William Wilberforce, the man who was really instrumental under God for the abolition of slavery. He was the MP for Hull in East England. Well, he was saved just after his 25th birthday. But before he was saved, he was a young man who lived for all the ungodly sins and pleasures of this world. He was far, far down in the depths of terrible sin. Yet whenever he was converted, he told his friend, Sir William Pitt, that he got saved. And Pitt said, "You're insane. You're mad." But you know, William Wilberforce went on with God. He was steadfast. He was unmovable in the things of God. He went on to live for Christ. Indeed, he said, in finding Christ as Savior, he found true happiness that he'd never found in the world. And this was his motto in life until the day he died. He said this, "Whatsoever others do ask for me, I will serve the Lord." The grace of God made a tremendous difference in his life. Friend, whoever you are unsaved, whatever your sin has been or sin is, I tell you tonight, the grace of God can make a difference. The Lord's saving grace can make a difference in your life. For the Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." This girl had a new life. She had a new walk. She had a new provision. For look at what the Lord says about her. And notice what Mark says, how the Lord treated her. In verse 45, it says, "And he charged them straightly that no man should know it." And then it says this, "And commanded them that something should be given her to eat." Notice how the Lord cared for her. He met her physical needs, her bodily needs. Her needs were supplied. And friend, whenever you heed God's call to salvation, whenever you come to Christ and put Christ first, the Lord will care for you. Remember what Peter said to the Christians in a day of great trial? He said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The Lord cares for his own. He cared for this little girl. And when you put the Lord first, when you're saved, the Lord will meet your need. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." David the psalmist could say, "I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread." The Lord cares for his own, the flock of his pasture. The hymn writer says, "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, with numberless blessings. Each moment he crowns." He cared for this little girl. He touched her. He healed her. He raised her up. She began a new life, a new walk. She received new care. And friend, let me ask you tonight, what are you going to do with the call of God to come to Christ? Will you not respond to that call tonight? Will you not heed that call? Begin a new life of serving God. A new life of seeking first the kingdom of God. A new life of knowing the Lord's care and bounty and provision in your life. It says over in John's Gospel chapter 3, in the verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you're not saved tonight, be you an older person, a younger person, a boy or a girl, you can put your name under that word, "whosoever." If you come and repent of your sin to the Lord by faith and call upon him, he will save you. He will cleanse you. He will forgive you. He will give you life abundant, life eternal. Praise God, he will take you one day into heaven, into heaven's glory, and be with the Lord forevermore. Oh, friend, don't turn away from the call of God tonight in the gospel. Heed that call. Come to Christ and be saved forever.